all the stars that God has made, all those stars that He has called by name, and Jesus is praying under all this beauty. That's why Scripture will go on to say that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. And that's something that we have to learn to appreciate, because we don't see the stars anymore. Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in the suburbs. I would see one or two or three stars, not a lot. But when I entered seminary, I spent a summer in a place called Peterborough, New Hampshire. Peterborough is in the southern New Hampshire, far outside the city lights of Boston metropolitan area. And there I saw the stars for the first time in their magnificence. Now, whether they're still there after 20-some years because of light pollution, I don't know. But I remember how magnificent they were when I spent the summer there in Peterborough. One weekend they had a garage sale, and I was rummaging through the garage sale, and I found somebody had donated for sale a small little telescope, and I bought it for $10. It was maybe 14, 15 inches, and I saw the moons of Jupiter for the first time. How many of you have ever seen the moons of Jupiter? I had never seen them until I looked through this little telescope. There are a group of nuns who came on retreat for a week, and I offered to them to come out and take a look through the telescope. It was completely pitch black. I couldn't tell who was who, and even if I did, I didn't know them from Adam. And so as the first nun would come up and look through to see the moons of Jupiter, I heard one nun say, "How do I know it's Jupiter?" I can't prove it. I mean, but that's how some people are. They won't believe until they see with their own eyes. And unfortunately, we can't see the stars as we once did. Generation of generation upon generation, they could see all the stars in their magnificence. But now with light pollution, we don't see them. We don't see the glory of God. All this dovetails into a special retreat or workshop that I was on 2 weeks ago. It was put together for Catholic priests mainly, but also Catholic educators, so there were some lay people there. But it was put on by the Vatican Observatory. But it's located outside of Tucson, Arizona. The Vatican has been involved in astronomy, well, ever since the issues with Galileo. Catholic scientists, Catholic priests are involved to this day exploring the deep questions of creation. How do we come about? How did God make all of this? What is the universe made of? What is our solar system made of? And so we had a wonderful workshop of faith and science coming together, that faith is not against science and science is not against faith. But there is only one truth that both share in. And so it really was important for us as Catholic priests and religious educators to learn some of these things and go back to our own parishes throughout the country to spread this good news that faith and science can work together, and that is working together, at least by way of the Vatican Observatory outside of Tucson, Arizona. The talks were very important, very interesting. Of course, I have always been interested in the stars ever since the 60s when I started watching Star Trek. But this was a very, very wonderful opportunity to hear from scientists themselves about God's creation. Right now there is a rocket going towards the largest asteroid that lays between Mars and Jupiter. It's called Cirrus. And next month that rocket's going to deploy a little probe that's going to touch down very, very, very gently on that asteroid and obtain some of its dust. Why? Well, they want to know what it is. Where did it come from? How did it come about? I met another scientist, and just by God's providence, I didn't know who he was from Adam, but he was there and he was redecorating his office. and on the floor was an award. It was called the Shoemaker Award. Now, I've been interested in astronomy, as I mentioned, and I knew the famous comet that hit Jupiter about 15 years ago, the Shoemaker-Libby comet. Does anybody remember that happening? No? Okay. You do? Okay. Well, I said, well, what's this award for? Well, he's the scientist who theorized, and apparently he got an award for it, he's the one who theorized how the moon came about. That's pretty impressive. It came about, at least this is the very, very short thumbnail explanation, that in the early formation of our solar system, the Earth was just this glob of molten stuff. And that some asteroid or comet impacted upon the Earth and broke off or caused to break off a glob just the right size of the moon. And that it is positioned just the right spot that it blocks out the sun for a total eclipse. And had the moon been a certain small percent one way or the other, we would not have life on the Earth. That's how important the moon is to us. Well, as soon as I heard his name, as soon as I heard what he theorized, I went up and shook his hand. So that's impressive to think that through, huh? I mean, at least for me, that brings out the inner geek in me, huh? That's impressive. Well, we saw also scientists how they make the large mirrors. Some are 18 yards or 18 meters, probably 18 meters. They all talk about meters. And there are going to be five of these put together in a large telescope in Chile, three of which are made. They have to be transported down there yet. And when they put it all together, they're going to take a nightly picture of the night sky for over 10 years to get the most incredible, incredible view of our universe. I mean, that's exciting stuff. At least it is to me. In fact, we are living in the golden age right now of astronomy. You don't know it because you don't hear about it. Now, with the ability to send up an artificial star by way of a laser, with computers, they can now use the observatories on Earth and adjust for any distortion in the atmosphere. It's as if they're having a space telescope, but it's here on Earth. And so they're building all these new telescopes now around the world. We now know that the universe is expanding. We've known that for ever since Hubble, he's the one that theorized that. But we also know that it's accelerating in its expansion. Now, this is really hard to get our minds around this, huh? There's a program, if you're interested, on NOVA. It's a science program on PBS out of Boston called Runaway Universe. And the scientist who was theorizing on the, explaining the expansion of the universe and its acceleration was sad, and he was sad for two reasons. One, it was obvious because he said 10,000 years from now there will be less starlight to see because the universe is expanding, and it's expanding faster than the speed of light in some cases. But he was also sad for another reason, and at least this is my speculation, because prior to understanding the expansion and the acceleration of the expansion, they held that maybe the universe is in a steady state, that just kind of always was there. Or it was expanding and contracting, called a cyclical universe. And when you have a cyclical universe, you don't need God. Or if you have a steady state universe, you don't need God. But if you have a universe that's expanding and accelerating in expansion, you need a God. Why? Because something had to put all this in motion. And that something is what we call God. Now that's an ancient, ancient proof for the existence of God. From motion. That's incredible. That's part of our faith. In fact, the scientist who came up with how everything started from the Big Bang was a Catholic priest. Many of the early astronomers were all Catholic priests. Many scientists were all Catholic priests. It's part of who we are as Catholic Christians to understand and love creation and try to get our minds around it, huh? Einstein said, and I asked if this was an actual quote, and the scientist there said, I've heard it, but I'd never be able to track it down. Einstein once said, I don't know what's more amazing, the size of the universe or man's ability to comprehend it. We have the ability, huh? We have something upstairs that we can put some of this together. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity this past 2 weeks to spend time with other Catholic priests, to spend time with Catholic scientists, astronomers, to learn about our universe. And I hope to have some type of PowerPoint presentation sometime, maybe get out some astronomy telescopes so you can see the moons of Jupiter yourselves. It's amazing. Now, all of this goes back to the gospel, that this is part of God's creation. But a part of that creation is sin. But thanks be to God, we have a Savior. And that's the gospel in a nutshell. And Jesus came to save us from sin. So yes, we love creation. We should praise creation because of part of God's handiwork. Take care of creation. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is going to be coming out with an encyclical. We don't know exactly what it's going to say about the environment. That we should take care of our environment, huh? Which is kind of obvious now, but to earlier generations, no. Huh? We should take care of our environment. And I asked the brother, Jesuit brother, if he would put in a special request to the Holy Father to say something about light pollution so that younger people can see the moons of Jupiter, so that younger people can see what Scripture calls the stars, the glory of God.